Theron, Bill Axel. Welcome to Newsmakers. We have some great guests today. On the show, we have Hall of Famer Joe Torre, Cubs manager Joe Madden, and two of his players, Jason Heyward and Albert Almora Jr. We start with Torre, who has been in the game since 1960. Here's what he had to say. Enjoy the podcast.
I'll never forget my first ever autograph. It was 1976. I was attending the Mets game at Shea Stadium, and the person I approached was Joe Torre. And Joe Torre automatically gave it to me, and I appreciate it to this day. And he's on the phone right now. He's now the chief baseball officer of Major League Baseball. Joe, thank you so much for being on the show.
Happy to be here.
Joe, you have been involved in Major League Baseball since 1960. How much do you enjoy your current job as chief baseball officer?
Well, it's baseball, you know, Bill. It's playing was a wonderful career. I was just felt very blessed. In fact, I'll give you a little background. You know, when I was a teenager, my brother Frank was playing professional baseball, and I always looked up to my brother Frank because I guess he was doing something I always admired. Mm-hmm. And when it came time for me to sign a professional contract, I said, this is all well and good, but, you know, what are the chances? You know, of course, I didn't know about the history of, you know, the Boyer brothers and, the Dean brothers and all that stuff. And I said, what are the chances of two guys in the same family, you know, getting to the big leagues, you know? And then all of a sudden, things started happening, and there I was. So it was pretty cool. But the playing days were great. When you look back on it, I always realized I never really had to look for a job, because while I was still playing, I was offered the managing post with the Mets in '77, and then I guess a year before I retired from managing. Commissioner Selig asked me, if I'd be interested in working for the commissioner's office when I didn't want to manage anymore. So, I've been pretty lucky, and, working at MLB is a little bit different, sitting behind a desk, although I did that as a manager. There's a little, some different things to deal with here. A lot of it is, business-like stuff, dealing with unions and trying to make still baseball decisions and having to take so many things into consideration.
And you continue to do a great job. Honest with me. Did you think you would be in this game this long? Let's say like in 1973, you were already in the game over a decade. I mean, what were you thinking after your playing career was over? Were you really thinking you're going to be in the game this long, or what were you thinking then?
Bill, it was interesting. I always felt I was going to be in the game. There was that little slot, after I managed in Atlanta for 3 years. It was close to 6 years that I, was out of uniform, and that's when I was a broadcaster for the California Angels. And still, that was baseball. I mean, you work for Gene Autry in California. That's not a bad gig.
Right.
But I never really had thought saying, boy, I'll be happy when I retire so I could do this or try that. It's always been baseball. Mm-hmm. And, I think my wife at this point in time has really given up on the fact that when are you going to retire? I mean, she's put that request in the drawer right now.
I thought you had found your calling as a broadcaster, because I was living in LA when you were the play-by-play, one of the voices of the Angels, and I thought you were great. And what did you think being in the booth? And I thought you're going to be there for a long time.
Well, I think I probably could have. People enjoyed what I did. I enjoyed what I did. I remember Hank Stram saying to me a long time ago when he was working with Jack Buck on that Monday Night Football on the radio, I said, how are you enjoying it? Because, he was still, young enough to coach football, and I know he itched to do it, get back on the field. I said, how do you enjoy doing what you're doing? And he said to me, he says, you know, I really enjoy it. It's football. He says, but when you leave the booth, you're not sure if you won or lost. And that's what it comes down to. You know, it's the competition. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the broadcast booth. You know, obviously less stress, but you always wanted to do the best job you could possibly do. And I always felt I wanted to bring a little different perspective and you know, more of the manager's head into the booth. And, you know, I had a lot of positive feedback on that. But there was still something I just felt that I had to find out. And that's, you know, if I could do this managing stuff. And, you know, obviously when I went to St. Louis, because I had the connection of Dal Maxville.
Right.
Who had coached for me and was a teammate of mine as the general manager in St. Louis, offered me the position. I was there for, you know, about 5 years. And then the Yankee opportunity came along, and boom, all of a sudden it was the best part of my professional career, those 12 years in New York, although the last couple were a little bumpy.
Are you still like... How can I put it? Are you in shock that you're in the Hall of Fame? You're a Hall of Famer too.
Yeah. You know, that was still surreal. You know, even when I walked in to get inducted into Cooperstown, you look around and in the back of your mind, you're saying, and you know, it's comical sort of, because you say, "Why, these guys are all Hall of Famers?" You know, and you know, all of a sudden you're. You know, you're in their club. I always was uncomfortable walking into All-Star games as a member of the team, because I always felt these other guys were so much better and so much more deserving. But, you know, as it turned out, you know, I was recognized as, you know, one of the best, you know, at managing. And I had a great group of players that certainly made that possible to be sitting in the Hall of Fame, because, yeah, I had an unusual group in New York. They just never got tired of winning, and they always felt they had something to prove to themselves.
Going forward, what's next on the agenda? I know you have the All-Star game coming up. Anything different we could see in this All-Star game?
Not really. You know, in fact, last night I went over to Citi Field, had a conversation with Joe Maddon, who's going to be managing the National League team. Mm-hmm. You know, the Commissioner Manfred, it's no longer, you know, the winner of this game is the home team in the World Series. So, you know, hopefully... You know, the players, although I think the players all along have always felt the same about the All-Star game. They go out there because they're honored to go out there, and when they put on the uniform, they try to win. Mm-hmm. So I think it's still going to be entertaining. You know, our All-Star game, unfortunately, is not like, say, hockey or basketball, where mm-hmm. you can run up the score, because, you know, when you have the best players, that includes the best pitchers, and it's... you know, pitching's always dominated this game.
That's true. You know, the game has always been global, and we're going to see the game in England soon. And how do you feel about it going that far? Did you ever think you would see a baseball game in England?
You know, what's interesting, Bill, is the fact that, you know, years ago, when I thought of, you know, all the things that were being talked about, I said, well, baseball this way. I guess I was an old fuddy-duddy before my time. But and then all of a sudden, you know, you're with a team like with the Yankees, actually with the Mets early on, after I got traded over there in 74, went over to Japan for several weeks and saw the enthusiasm, what baseball was and still is in Japan, and it was pretty special. And then, you know, the Yankees, we went to Japan, and then the Dodgers went to Taiwan and Beijing, and then you realize, you know, when you go around the world, how many people recognize what you've done? And, you know, and I'm a little biased. I mean, I think our game is absolutely wonderful because it's unlike any other game, I think, because you play it every day. It's a little different. You know, it's a little different in playing it and watching it. I know some people feel it's a little too slow for them, but I think that's why with the commissioner's office here, we're trying to get more and more young people involved in playing the game and facilitating that so we can keep nourishing our fan base.
It seems like, since you mentioned the younger, it seems like this game is being dominated by younger and younger players. And how do you feel about that? I mean, we're seeing Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. I mean, they're all dominating this game. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great. I mean, to me, it's exciting. I think young people are exciting. I mean, if you look on the PGA Tour, you're seeing a lot of young golfers that, you know, just walk onto the course and they think they can win. I mean, that's what you see in baseball now. Mm-hmm. They walk into the clubhouse where I remember when I was a rookie, 20-year-old rookie, walking into a big league clubhouse, I sort of tiptoed around and make sure I didn't, you know, get in anybody's way. And but these kids now come in with, aside from the ability they have, they come in with a great deal of confidence. And I think it's great. It's a great vibe. I think the fans like the excitement. I know that, as you mentioned, Aaron Judge, I think, you know, he and several other players with the Yankees have really revived the Yankee base as far as fandom. And I was just in L.A. last week, and you talk about a crop of young players. Mm-hmm. And, again, I'm dating myself, but they have a young man named, Cody Bellinger. And in 1999, his dad Clay played for me with the Yankees.
Correct.
So, it's great to see. You know, first of all, these kids who used to run around the clubhouse when you were managing, and now they're, you know, hitting in the middle of the lineup for the LA Dodgers.
How is the game going? I know you had to delve into some suspensions by Bryce Harper, Hunter Strickland, and Yasiel Puig. How's the game going in your eyes?
Well, I'd like to, have these players go out and play baseball and play hard. We still need to make sure that our game gets the respect it certainly deserves. And, you know, like in Puig's place, you know, there's no place to be disrespectful to fans or whoever he was, you know, referring to.
Yes.
when he made his gesture. And as far as this Strickland Bryce Harper thing, mm-hmm. we want to keep the players on the field. And you know, I understand that passions run deep, and sometimes passions go in the wrong direction. So I just try to keep it on the rails. That's
yes.
all I do. I always tell these players, even though they've been disciplined, don't ever lose your passion for this game. I said, you know, you may want to be able to aim it in the right direction, but I never want you to lose your passion. The game's too important and means so much to too many people to think that the game is all about you. I think there are more people to take into consideration.
As a former player, is there anything you like to see change? Are you like the commissioner, the pace of play needs to change? What's your feelings?
Well, I think in the pace of play, some people think it's just the length of game. I think we're all interested, both players and us here in the office are interested in just eliminating the lag time. You know, now that we've introduced replay, we've sped that up a pretty good bit. But we need to take, you know, these players have gotten into a lot of habits as far as walk-up music and in and out of the batter's box and trips to the mound. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to find a way, without disrupting the strategy of the game, to try to eliminate a lot of that stuff that, you know, really nothing's going on. So, you know, we try to find a way, as I say, not to disrupt the strategy of the game, but I think the fact that, and I'd like to have the games won by the team that played the best that day. You know, I know we have technology now with our replay stuff, but I hate to have a game end on some kind of technicality. You know, I just want baseball to be played on the field and the game to determine the winner.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you about the Safe at Home Foundation. I'd like to give you a plug there. How's that going? And just talk about it.
Well, yeah, a number of years ago, Bill, I come to the realization I was a nervous kid growing up, and I never really wanted to talk about what was going on in my home, my home that I was raised in. My dad abused my mom. I thought we were the only household that had that issue, and you know, you come to find out that it's more prevalent than you would have imagined. And so, once I realized that, you know, my condition or my feelings were caused by the fear that my dad brought in the house, I wanted to do something to maybe help the young people who are dealing with that. So my wife, Allie, and I started our Safe at Home Foundation. We put safe rooms in schools for kids we help the kids deal with the abuse that's going on in their lives. We give them the tools to, you know, not necessarily solve it, but make them understand that they're not alone and it's not their fault. We've had, since 2005, we've had better than 60,000 kids come through our program. We know it works, and we're very proud of it. And for people, and thanks for asking, by the way, when people want to know a little bit about it, just go to joetorre.org, and that'll give you a pretty good idea of what we do and how we do it.
Joe Torre, it's an honor to have you on the show, and it's been a blast. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Bill. Enjoyed it.
Take care.
My next guest is Cubs manager Joe Maddon, and even he admits it's tough to repeat as a world champion.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Joe, has it hit you that what you've done in Chicago, I mean, the world championship since 1908?
It jabs at you. It hits you on occasion. Other times it doesn't. When you talk to people that have been lifelong fans and they start bringing up their parents and their grandparents, that's when it really kind of hits home. But for the most part, man, you're really more concerned about the present tense, present day, what's going on with the Cubs. I think it's more of the fan when they get to you and they really conjure up the past. That's when it really hits home for me.
No matter what you do, you're going to be loved in Chicago. I don't think they don't care what you do the next 5 years. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. I mean, I think we've raised the standards right now, and I think the fans are expecting a lot more, which I like. But also, I know Coach Ditka now, and I know how the people feel about Coach Ditka. And that's probably the only comparison I can draw is with the Bears in the 80s and compared to what we did last year. So hopefully I'll be able to maintain that good relationship with our Cubs, the city of Chicago, and our fans, because I think they're outstanding.
The team's off to a slow start, not what you want. What's been the problem this year?
Inconsistency, obviously. We haven't started pitched like we can, and our offenses, if you look at our numbers, they're really unusual. You would not expect a lot of our guys to be not hitting into the middle of June like we are right now, but we're still not in bad shape, and I do believe we're going to hit, and I do believe our starters will come back. So in spite of having a difficult start, I think it's going to benefit us at the end of the year.
What do you want to see the team do better?
What I want to see us do better, I want to see us hit the ball to the middle opposite field more consistently well, starting pitching-wise, just to get off to better starts and permit us to grab leads and hold on to them.
You had Anthony Rizzo lead off recently. Why did you do that, and how long will that last?
I thought we needed a spark, and among all the guys available, he's the one guy that you look at his on-base percentage. It's him, and it could have been him or it could have been Chris Bryant, but I know Anthony doesn't mind doing crazy things like that. So part of it was his nature, and part of it was just to try to spark them a little bit. and we did well with it last night. He's going to do it again tonight.
For people who are not in your shoes, how difficult is it to repeat?
Oh, it's not easy. It's very difficult. First of all, you become the hunted at that point. So anytime anybody plays you, they're probably going to play their best game. With us, it's even more difficult in a sense because of all the youth on our team, I believe. We do lack a lot of veterans coming back from last year to this team, so we're breaking in a lot of new guys as defending champions. So it's difficult, but it's definitely doable.
It looks like Jason Hayward is getting back on track. How do you feel about that?
Love it. He's a good man. He's a really good baseball player. Again, he's doing well right now, but I also believe with him you're going to see another gear kick in. He continually gets more comfortable with his new setup and what he's doing with his hands. He still hasn't hit his real hot spot yet, and that's forthcoming too.
What is he doing with his hands?
He lowered them. Last year he had his hands up around his ears, and the swing became longer and was more pushing it. Now he's got his hands lower, he's loading better, and it's just more active hand action, which means the barrel of the bat's contacting the ball a lot more often. So it's a much more concise and precise swing.
How come you didn't give up on him last year?
First of all, it's just he was not hitting well, but he plays the game really well. He's a very good outfielder. He throws well. He's a really good base runner. He's a great teammate. So I kind of have a tendency to look beyond just hitting numbers.
You often talk about Don Zimmer.
Yeah.
What does he mean to you?
I call him Coach Zimmerman. Zim was a great confidant. He was there to really offer advice, a lot of strategic advice during the course of the season. He means a tremendous, for me, link to the past generations in the game. And also, he means courage, because Zim was not afraid to do anything.
Mm-hmm. And talk about your mom, Beanie.
Beanie.
She's still a waitress.
Beanie retired. She's now a woman of leisure. She's 80, this is 2017, she's 84. I'll be seeing her tomorrow, but she's doing really well, thank you.
And she was working for so long. How proud are you that she was working for so long?
Very proud. I mean, I was actually surprised she considered retirement. Like I said, 84, that's a pretty good run right there. She's comes from great stock. She's the Polish side of my family. My grandma lived to be almost 100. Her dad died from black lung from working in the coal mine. So it's a really interesting group, and I'm really proud of her.
You've been a manager since 1991, and see how far you've come. I mean, how proud of what you've accomplished?
Well, honestly, I don't go into retrospection a whole lot. I really am about today. When I'm dealing with the past, I try to rely on what I've learned and incorporate it into today. But to try to, you know, rest on my laurels or, you know, think that I've done all these wonderful things, I don't even go there. I really try to utilize my experience in today's game.
Joe Madden, thank you so
much.
My
pleasure, sir.
Appreciate it.
My next guest is Jason Hayward of the Cubs. And let me tell you, he feels more comfortable at the plate now than he did last year. Enjoy the podcast. I'm with one of the good guys in baseball. His name is Jason Hayward of the Cubs. Thank you so much for being on the show. The one thing I read about you is that you always have a positive attitude. And I'd like to know, why is that? Despite, even though like last year, you didn't have a good year offensively, and you kept a positive attitude. Why is that?
I feel like there's always more than one thing you can bring to a baseball team. Starting with being a good person and just trying to keep everybody positive going forward, you know, move past the tough times, because baseball, especially, we're going to fail a lot more times than we succeed. So I would like to keep a good mindset on things. Just, as positive as you can, but also as a team. You don't want guys to ever get too down or too caught up in one moment. You know, there's always another moment coming, so just be ready to handle that one the best way we can.
Where'd you get that positive attitude from? I know your father, Eugene, has played a big role in your life. Where'd you get that from?
My parents, they all got a great, great background from them, family, very supportive family at home. Great friends that I grew up with, had an opportunity to play, you know, grow up, fall in love with the game of baseball with them, had some good coaching. Then in the mindset of you're never out of a game or out of a situation until the game's over. And then, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have some really good teammates. One that I wear his number 22, a high school teammate of mine, Andy Wilmot. He was always positive. You know, he didn't play every day, but he was always positive, always ready to help the team win any way he could. And in Atlanta. Michael Bourne for me was one that just every day he was same guy, you know, outfield wise. Brian McCann was always same guy. I had a lot of guys that were same guy, but you know, Michael Bourne I got to see up close and personal in the outfield. He was always looking for the positive and things, you know, treat people how you want to be treated, not talking bad about people, this and that. And, and all these things I'm saying right now are a lot easier said than done when you're talking about, no, obviously in life, but then when you talk about a 162-game season, there's so many things that are not going to go your way every day.
You mentioned your childhood friend. I read about him, too, and tell me his mother was your teacher. And talk about him. I mean, you obviously had fun with him.
Yeah, he was somebody that around school, in high school, you were happy to see him because you always knew he was going to give you something to smile about, laugh about, whatever it was. He was always going to be himself and true to that. And his mom was my teacher, one of my teachers my senior year. But she was like team mom for baseball. She was like the team mom for the school pretty much because she did football cheerleading, basketball cheerleading. She did softball and all that stuff. So she was just everywhere anybody needed her to be.
Talk about David Ross. I understand that he also played a role in your life in Atlanta. Talk about him.
Absolutely. Rossi, because, you know, he was, you know, his title was backup catcher. But, I mean, he got the most out of that, I feel like, and brought his value to a team every single day, every inning. You know, whether it was trying to pick up signs, whether it was picking up little things here or there that would help your team, you know, that night in the game, or maybe something that was it would help you with for later. Just always supportive of everybody. And on his day to play, it was like, hey, like, nobody's going to be down. Nobody can be pounding today because, you know, he doesn't get to play often. But when he does, you know, everybody has to match his level of intensity and positivity. So he's just, you know, one of the few that are really great at doing what he does with that.
And you did match his level in the World Series when you held a team meeting during the rain delay in Game 7 and told everyone, we can do this, we can win it. I mean, that's what I'm amazed about you is that I know most people who have a down year and they just don't say anything. But you decided, I want to win.
You know, we're capable of it. And if you don't believe that, if you don't speak on that, if you don't conduct yourself in a manner of which you're capable of doing something, then I feel like we're wasting our time being there. Yeah, we didn't know what the exact outcome was going to be, but I hands down believe that we were going to overcome another moment to challenge us again. That's what we were last year. We handled that the best out of any other team. Anytime we got challenged throughout the season, we answered it right away, and that was that. We didn't know how the outcome was going to be, you know, and that's what I try to just remind everybody. Like, we don't know what's going to happen now, but we still go about it being ourselves, and that's obviously being positive, but have fun doing it and go out there and just attack it and face it head on.
Jason, your work ethic goes without saying, and, you know, what you do in the outfield, especially even at the plate. Could you talk about where that work ethic comes from?
I've always loved to practice when it came to anything, but it came to baseball. I've always loved to practice. That was my favorite part of the game. Going to practice, getting dirty, you know, working hard, you know, running, get sweaty, get tired, get something out of it. And that way it felt like when I played in the game, it was just like practice. You know, just, this is stuff that we've already been over 100 times and stuff that you take pride in doing it the right way, but it's, you know, it's just, I don't know, it just makes it that much more fun. And like the challenge, like you're ready for this to happen. You know this is going to happen. You expect the worst to happen. When it comes to base running, that kind of stuff, when it comes to outfield, when it comes to hitting, it just comes to knowing where everybody needs to be on the field for each play. For me, that kind of stuff was just a lot of fun. It was just another challenge, game within the game.
You win Gold Gloves like it's going out of style. And I like to know, I mean, do you feel that if you don't win a Gold Glove, it's like, man, that should be mine?
No, not necessarily. It's, you know, for me, it's just a matter of I have the ability to be great at it, so be great at it. Don't waste it. Just bring what I can bring. It's another aspect of the game that I can bring, and if I can help my team doing it, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and that's that.
Jason, the one thing I noticed, too, is that you're not satisfied. And the one thing I heard about you after the season ended was that you went to Arizona to work on your hitting. You went near the team spring training facility. Talk about why did you do that? I know no one told you to do it. Why did you do it? And How much has it helped?
I wanted things to be really simplified. Mm-hmm. And 2013, I missed 2 months of the season. I had an appendix removed and I got hit in the jaw. Uh-huh. But we still won the division in Atlanta, still went to the playoffs, but that was just, it's a lot going on. 2014, first time in my career for I think a week and a half playing games that we knew we weren't going to the playoffs.
Right.
And you know, after that season, my future wasn't certain with where I was going to be playing and things like that. I get traded to St. Louis, and you know, so then it's kind of do things on the fly, find a place to live in spring training, new spring training home, of course, new city, new division, new people, learning all those things. And then again, 2016, another new team, first time spring training in Arizona. And for me, it was just, I need to keep things simple as possible. So Arizona has the great weather. Obviously, we have a great facility out there that the Cubs provide us to work out in if we choose. And for me, I just wanted to be there. I wanted to be in that already. And it definitely made things easier for me because, again, like I said, just you can count on that place being there every day. I can get in every day. I can go hit, run, whatever it is, go to the training facility, stuff for my body, mentally. It was just there. And I got to be a gym rat. Like I said, I love practice. I love to train. And that's always been my mindset. I've always loved to do that. But just being able to already be there, be in our spring training home, I just couldn't wait to take advantage of that opportunity.
You're doing well. I mean, you're hitting 257 last I looked. How do you think you're doing?
I feel like I'm creating a good base to go off of. You know, building is everything for me. I feel like that's always kind of the way my seasons have gone too at the plate is I'll start off building and then keep going. But for a new beginning, I feel like it's a good base to start with contributing to this team and our lineup. We got a good lineup, and I feel like it doesn't take a whole lot for us to get some positive things done. So far, I would say, okay, good start, but no, got work to do, got more consistency to be had, and the biggest thing I would say is just being able to so far make adjustments on a nightly basis is it's helped me continue to build that, and I feel like it's gonna take off and go and get even better.
What are you doing better than you did last year? And you are doing better.
This year's tension free. I started off last year with a wrist injury that didn't help me either as far as consistency goes. But there's no excuse there.
Still played,
but that's everybody has things. Whatever, some things are tougher than others. Whatever, but. You know, as far as creating good habits, you know, even when that wrist injury went away, I still had bad habits. And then you know, you start to compound, and you start to add pressure, and you start to have tension, and you try and create situations out of others, and then you become cautious at times.
Did the contract get the best of you?
I don't feel like it did.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel like it did. I just feel like dream job, dream situation to come into, and you know. Uh-huh. I feel like it could be so many things, but not that one.
The one thing I know, so the Cubs fans were really on your side, and that had to make you feel good.
No, it was great. I mean, nobody's going to be harder on me than myself, and that's always been that way my whole life. But, you know, of course people want to see you do well because they know you can do well. They've seen you do well. And when you don't do well, they're disappointed, and they want you to do well. But for what I was still able to bring to a really good team in my first season here. Mm-hmm. People were respectful and appreciated me for that, but then obviously contributions all the way up to the World Series and the end of that, and then just for them to be able to see the open book that you know this organization is with their players, they you know, the Cubs, you know, like their fans, feel like they're family, and they like to let them see what we're doing. So people find out I'm going to train in Arizona and all that stuff, and just seeing who I am as a person, dedication-wise, you know, people respect and praise that, and to come back this year and be a part of what's helping the team, you know, on a nightly basis, help us win ball games and help us do positive things. People really appreciate that, and it's a beautiful fan base. It really is, and the best word, if I had to put it in one word, is genuine.
How's Joe Madden to deal with?
Joe is great to deal with, but he has a tough job. Mm-hmm. I feel like his job this year is even tougher than last year.
Okay.
Having more players that are going through their first full seasons right now. So trying to find them time to play and figure things out, but also trying to, you know, let some of these other guys play as well. They can go play every day. And that's just a tough job to have, man, because we have literally a roster of people that can play every single day on anybody's team. So trying to find that space, trying to find that time, trying to find comfort in that for those guys, and still keeping everybody sane.
Right.
It's a tough job.
And this team is off to a slow start. You have the 500 mark. What do you guys need to do to get back on track? I mean, it's June only. But you guys can still get back on track.
We can still get on track. We can still keep going up, and we can still trend up. You know, we've got to take care of our bodies, got to be healthy. We got to pace ourselves, work hard, but work smart. And this, you know, this organization's had two long seasons in the last 2 years. NLCS 15, obviously Game 7 last year. So as far as preparation goes, you can kind of get behind in some of that naturally. That's a good thing. That's what you want to have happen. But you know, for that being a new scenario for a lot of these guys, myself included, you just want to figure out as quick as possible what you can do to maximize the things that we're going to get out of each other every day. So that's going to mean bringing something different than it might have been last year for certain people, certain guys. You know, last year on this team as well, a lot of guys had career years, maybe except for myself, especially as far as the position player situation goes. So you know, now you got to find new ways to try and do stuff, and that's why I say being a Joe Madden, it's a tough job to have. And you know, being experienced is great. We have experience here, but we also have some young guys here, so that's, you know, it's different finding new ways to get it done.
Final question, what's ahead for Jason Hayward?
What's ahead? Tuesday night here at City Field, gonna go face Zach Wheeler.
Thank you so much. Yeah, appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. My final guest is Albert Almora Jr. He's playing for his dad, who defected from Cuba years ago. Enjoy the podcast. Albert Almora Jr., thank you so much for being on the show. You are the man who scored the winning run in Game 7 of the World Series. Has it hit you what you've done?
It's definitely a special moment, you know, and I was just at the right place at the right time, and then, you know, Zobrist did his job, so all the credit to him. I just ran the bases.
You know, is it hard to believe you're a world champ? I mean, you're a world champ right now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's everybody's dream, you know, that plays this game, to be the best and be on top and to be the last team standing, you know, and for us to do that and for me to do that, you know, to be a part of it in my first year in the big leagues, it's special.
Albert, every time I see you play, you always produce. Do you ever ask yourself, when do I play every day?
No.
And why is that?
No, because I can't control that. You know, all I can control is just going out there and playing hard, like you said, and that's a decision that's up to them. And I'm just going to be ready whenever my name is called.
How do you prepare for a game since you come off the bench sometimes, and it seems like you always prepare?
Yeah, it's all about routine. It's all about first off being confident in yourself and your abilities, and obviously, when I'm starting games, I do things differently. But when I'm coming off the bench, I have my own routine. So I could be ready whenever my name's called.
Could you talk about what you do to be ready?
It just depends. If it's the days that I'm not starting, I usually come in, mm-hmm. come in and hit. I get ready around the second inning. I go in and hit a little bit, and then in the fourth inning, I hit off a live arm. And then usually around then it's pitchers, you know, going deeper into games. So I'm always on my toes, ready for thinking of situations that could happen, so I could be ready for it. And then you just get on the bike, and they usually give me like an inning in advance, maybe, or it depends on the situation, and I'll just get warmed up.
What do you think of Joe Matt as your manager?
I mean, I'm spoiled, you know. I mean, he's been the only manager I play for in the big league, so it's my own team, and. It's unbelievable, you know, the way he just lets us go be us and be ourselves. It's first class.
And letting a young guy like you play, that has to feel special.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show he has confidence in everybody in this clubhouse. So, I mean, it's awesome. We showed last year the way we played and the way, you know, we came out on top, and just trying to do that again this year.
Albert, you've been playing this game since you were 3 years old, and it was taught by your father. Can you believe how far you've come since 3 years old?
Yes.
And why?
Because I worked hard for it. So, I mean, as long as I can remember, this has been my goal. So I just set my mind towards it, and like I said, had the confidence in myself, had the help with my family as well, supporting me, and you basically lived their life around me and my pursuing career. So a lot of credit to them. But yeah, I definitely believe and expect myself to be here.
How much do you play for Albert Amor Sr.?
Wow, that's a really good question. I've never gotten asked that, and I think everything that I do, you know, is for him and my mom, you know, and my whole family, my family name. And I got family back in Cuba that check up on me whenever they can. And that it's definitely what I play this game. I play this game the right way for them.
Now, talk about your father. Now, I read that he defected from Cuba,
yeah,
made a great living here in the United States. Talk about how proud are you of him and what he's done for you.
I can't begin to describe how proud I am of my father. You know, to what he was dealt and what the adversity he had to overcome. It's pretty special, you know. And then even after that, when he was in the States and, you know, was a resident, that, you know, it was different. It was different for him and his family and our family. So with all that, with all his obstacles, still, you know, dedicate his full time to myself, you know, in baseball. Special.
He really did well when it comes to raising you, it seems.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's just my goal. You know, I'm a father as well now. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that I could be at least half the father that he was to my son. Yeah.
What do you teach your son and that your father taught you?
It's too soon. He's 9 months right now, so he ain't understanding much right now. But I'm just going to, you know, try to instill that winning mentality. Not even if he doesn't love baseball or any sport, just to work hard for what you want. And, you know, you have to be really dedicated for it.
Like John Jay, do you plan to go to Cuba and learn more about your roots?
I think if I would go to Cuba, I've talked about this with my father. Mm-hmm. It would be for vacation. And to see where my mother and where my father grew up, you know, in Cuba. But my family, you know, I don't know how I could put this in a correct way. My immediate family, the family that has everything, you know, did everything for me, is in Miami. You know what I mean? So,
yes, I got you.
So I would love to see, you know, I would like to put a view to the stories that I've heard as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, if I can't, by any chance, I can't go to Cuba, or if I don't have the chance to, I'm perfectly fine with that, just because my heart and soul is in Miami with my parents, so that's all I need.
Yeah, and your parents seem to be happy after leaving Cuba, so you got to be happy about that.
Yeah, they did that for their kids, you know, as well. So, I mean, obviously my mom was 3 years old when she left Cuba. She don't really remember. She actually just went back this last week.
Okay.
Yeah, so she got the experience where she saw where she grew up and you know, whatsoever. And
no bitterness.
What's that?
No bitterness.
No, she saw family members, so she was happy, and I got to see pictures, so that's pretty special. But yeah, they definitely left for a better life, and hopefully gladly it happened. So,
Albert Amor, I think you're going to be a star, and good luck to you.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it. Thank you.